Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, not retail, wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you or someone you know is looking for a hot tub, there's probably only one place in town you can go. The supply chains have broken down. Hot Tub Outlet has a huge inventory of hot tubs right now in two warehouses ready to sell right now. You go to the other places, because of the supply chains, you might have to wait months and months and months. The only place to go is Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton. 15 different models and truckloads of hot tubs delivered every month. Plus, everything is made in the U.S. Great quality, outstanding insulation. Go to Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or hottuboutletdenver.com right now. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I want to bring in our friend Thomas Harding. He's covered the Rockies for decades. You can catch his work on MLB.com. Thomas, how are you, my friend? Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I feel good. I feel clean. The deadline is over. I feel like I could live again, although this is a crazy time, isn't it?
It is. One reason I wanted to bring you on, a lot of reasons I wanted to bring you on, is you don't drink the Kool-Aid. You don't have to drink the Kool-Aid. Did the Rockies make a mistake not trading Story?
I'm going to withhold judgment. I'm very slow to judge on this, but I will say this. If they don't improve this team offensively this winter with the pitching that they have, then this is a huge mistake. They have got to do something in free agency right now. I mean, John Gray decided he wants to stay around another year. If you look at this pitching, when healthy, it's very good. I mean, Austin Gomber had a little bit of an elbow issue. He came back pitching well. John Gray has pitched as well as anybody has at Coors Field. Germán Márquez is an all-star. I do believe that Antonio Senzatella, he's at that strange point of his career where there's some inconsistency, but I believe we've seen more good than bad. He could be one heck of a pitcher. Peter Lambert, coming off of injury, I think he could help this rotation. You look at this rotation, and I forgot, I didn't even mention Kyle Freeland, who has pitched outstanding his last seven starts, and he is the illustration of what's right and what's wrong with the Rockies. Seven starts, a one-something ERA, whatever it is, I mean, barely, maybe not even a 200 batting average, and they're like 1-6 in those starts because they can't hit. Whoever thought that a Colorado Rockies team could not hit? Now, obviously, they were going to run into some problems when they traded Nolan Arenado. Trevor Story has not played to expectations this year, but they've got to do something to improve that position player group. I look at that bunch. Charlie Blackman is no longer the power guy he once was, but guess what? Since May, he's a 300 average and at times 330 average hitter. He really is a good part of a lineup. I do believe that Ryan McMahon, now he's not hitting home runs right now. I do think he's playing through an injury. Ryan McMahon, Brendan Rodgers, pretty good parts of the lineup. Ramel Tapia, he's up and down a lot, but that's a good part of a lineup. CJ Krohn at first base. Now, could you upgrade there? Maybe, but he does have some power. You see it at home. But that's not enough to win baseball games, and they've got pitching that can win baseball games. They're going to have to go out this winter and do something. Get a guy in here who can hit some home runs, maybe two or three guys, even if it isn't the superstar, huge one big ticket guy. They've got to improve that part. I thought that they could do that by trading a Trevor Story and maybe getting someone young that's ready to step into that role. They didn't do it. So what are they going to do this winter? So that's why I am reserving the judgment on this until then. Let's face it, they weren't going to win the division this year no matter what they did with Story. But it does look like a missed opportunity, but they have time to correct this.
And you kind of mentioned it. they have holes to fill. You mentioned CJ Krohn. He's actually leading among the regulars in OPS right now. He's having a very good season, but you're going to take Trevor Story, even though it's been a shaky year for him. You're going to take him out of that lineup. So all of a sudden that creates another vacancy there. And are they going to have the wherewithal and the commitment to fill all the holes that are going to be facing? Because then we haven't even talked about the bullpen, which has been shaky as well. It seems like as good as the rotation is, there's still a lot of things that need to be done before we're talking about this team being within hailing distance of the big three in the division.
Well, the reason why I didn't bring up the bullpen is this. If you go back to 2017, when they ended up going to the playoffs, at times the bullpen was shaky, but what happened? Bud Black found three or four guys that could help him, and I will give Jeff Breidich this. At the deadline, he went out and got those guys. As you see with the Reds picking up Michael Givens, you see around baseball. You can pick up a bullpen guy. You don't have to bust your budget on the bullpen during the offseason if you're not sure you're going to be there. I do think that they need to make some shrewd moves with the lineup. I mean, you look at CJ Krohn, one of their better OPS guys. Now, they signed him on a minor league deal and he's getting $1 million this year. I do think you need to go higher and maybe compete for some guys, but there are enough positions where you can add bats without spending huge amounts of money that you can upgrade this offense, and they have to do that. If they don't upgrade this offense and they decide that they're going to wait for their draft picks to get there, I think that they've made a colossal mistake this week with Trevor Story. So the question is, what are they going to do? Obviously, Bill Schmidt is the interim general manager. I asked him directly about that, and he said they have to get better. They do need to make some moves. They are a draft and develop organization, but I think the frustration that a lot of the fans have is when you are strictly a draft and develop organization, guess what? That baseball draft is a low percentage thing. Patrick Saunders and I were looking at some numbers, and over a 10-year period, I think it ended in 2018, because people don't want to draft, want to rate drafts early. Over a 10-year period, the first round pick all across baseball, 73% of them made it for the majors for one day. Okay, this is not the NFL. This is not the NBA where you're drafting superstars. You're drafting, and there is a sort of some guesswork. Second round pick, it's around 51%. So this partly kind of backs what the Rockies do, because if you look at Trevor Story, he was a compensatory pick when they lost Octavio Dotel to free agency. Most people don't know that Octavio Dotel was ever here, but he was a compensatory pick. Who are some of the second round picks? Charlie Blackmon, Nolan Arenado. Right now, Ryan McMahon, they have done well in that area of the draft. So I understand valuing that pick. But do you value it to a point that you squander the starting pitching you have right now? They cannot make that mistake.
We're talking with Thomas Harding, covers the Rockies for MLB.com. When Nolan Arenado was traded, we had this conversation. I'm going to refresh you with a question that I asked you. And that was this. The Rockies organization, if anything, they are consistent. Matt Holliday left the organization pissed off. Troy Tulowitzki left the organization pissed off. Nolan Arenado left the organization pissed off. And now Trevor Story is going to leave the organization pissed off. With that, and that's the way they treat their stars, and every situation is different. What do you think the guys in the clubhouse think of the organization after not trading Trevor?
I think that they would be looking at their own situation.
I understand that, but overall, looking at Dick Monfort and this organization, they're glad to have a job, but how do they look at the Rockies organization?
In my time around there, only star players come to make these decisions. For example, Carlos Gonzalez. You know, he made a decision to stay. Some of the others, and they talk to each other. I don't think they have that player in that organization right now, so I'm not sure that it makes that much difference. Like I say, I spent a whole lot of years around there. It's usually the star players, meaning that the Tulowitzkis and the Holidays, they talk to Helton. Nolan Arenados, they talk to the Tulowitzkis. The Trevor Stories, they talk to the Nolan Arenados. They don't have that player in there right now. So, but here's what they have in there are pitchers who seem to be happy to be there. that's where kind of the thought. So I don't think that this necessarily will be, it's going to erode the players in the clubhouse because they simply don't have that player. And there is a separation between star players and the complementary type players.
Thomas, we know it's been a busy day. I appreciate you carving the time with us for 10 minutes. Really appreciate it. And good luck moving forward with this team.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But the thing is, if they make a bunch of shrewd moves,
yeah,
they could be good. I mean, I'm looking at the San Francisco Giants. Most of us said they should have blown up that roster last year.
Yeah, but they're not the Giants. They don't have the resources. They don't have the right people in place. It's different, isn't it?
It's different, except it's the same, because what the Giants did was they stuck with a number of veteran players that were very good. The Rockies have to go out and buy those guys, and they have to do it this winter.
Right.
They've done it. They've done things like that before, like Mark Reynolds and a few other guys. They've done it before, and I don't know if they've ever been under this much pressure to do it because they don't have a superstar on the roster right now. But they're under a lot of pressure to figure out who can come in here and have amazing impact, maybe even at a cut cost. So that's what they have to do. They're not the Giants with their resources. But is it doable considering the pitching they have? That's why the Giants always can do it, because they pitch in a park that's easy to pitch in. These guys pitch in a tough park, but they have starting pitching.
Are you optimistic because you're optimistic, or you're optimistic because you're feeling good about the weekend?
I'm not even optimistic. I'm just kind of factual on that. Here's the thing, is that we get so emotional about the story that's right now. And the story right now is, you know, Trevor Story is not happy that he wasn't traded, and he shouldn't be happy he wasn't traded. I mean, he feels he has value out there. I'm fine with that. Yeah. I am fine with that. But looking at this thing going forward, it's not like someone's going to come in here and spend like the New York Yankees. No owner is going to do that.
Right.
You've got to figure out how to do it right. And they have to beef up a number of areas of the front office, which I think that at least they know they have to. But they have to get this done, because it's a colossal failure if they squander the starting pitching that they have.
Thomas, have a great weekend, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, coming up after the break, Andrew, you and I had a great conversation with Bobby Massey today. New right tackle, interesting guy, nice guy, and a guy who really wants to be in Colorado. You'll hear why next.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mount Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, talking about wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, talking about a deck, a fence, or anything else like that, why pay too much money? Go to the big box stores. I mean, you're going to pay a fortune, especially if you are talking about a fence. And there's no comparison in terms of paying, as many of you know, wholesale and retail. Not to mention, Rocky Mountain Forest Products have been used in structures that you are more than familiar with, in Power Field and Coors Field. You've been there. So if these teams want to work with Rocky Mountain Forest Products, why wouldn't you? Go to rmfp.com or go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
Not a lot of news coming out of day three of training camp today. Earlier in the show, we talked about the quarterback situation. Some people give an edge to Drew Lock today over Teddy Bridgewater. The other news today, Bobby Massey, day three of training camp. Played with the first team offensive line at right tackle. Really shouldn't come as a surprise, though. Fangio said he would rotate about two or three guys into the first team offensive line at the right tackle position. First 2 days was Calvin Anderson. Today, it was Bobby Massey. We had a chance to catch up with Massey after practice.
When you decided to come here, was it more about, hey, I just need a job? Or was it about, hey, what an opportunity now that Juwan is not going to be playing?
It was more opportunity because, I mean, at this stage of my career, you know, I played a long time and I made a little bit of money. So it wasn't about having a job. You know, I just want to play in a place where I lived at, you know, for good. And it's a great team with a lot of young talent, and they're capable of doing a lot of things. You know, just need to execute in certain times. And this team could be special, and I just want to be a part of it.
You mentioned being here. What, for people who don't know, what's the backstory on you moving to Colorado, calling this place home, and why do you love it so much?
Me and my wife, we've been traveling here for about 5-6 years, about 4 or 5 times a year. You know, we just love it. And my wife, she's an avid hiker. You know, I fish a whole lot and getting into hunting. And it's just a perfect place for the both of us. And we bought a place this past September. And, you know, we just wanted to call it home.
So you bought a place here this past September before you signed with the team?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not going to Google stalk you, but roughly where did you get a place?
Larkspur.
Okay. What kind of things do you like to do, I suppose I'll say, during the off season?
Fish. I just love fishing. That's my thing. That's really it. Fish, play video games, and eat. You know, find a lot of restaurants to go to and just eat food. I like being outside.
So when there was the opportunity to come here, did you run to your wife or did your wife come to you and say, this is our opportunity to now live in a place where we just bought a home?
She came to me.
Did she?
Yeah, she came to me.
What'd she say?
She wanted me to just jump on it, just not think about anywhere else. Just wanted this to be the place I finished out my career.
So far, they have you splitting the reps at right tackle. Like, is that tough when you're going second team one day, first team the next? Or what is that like for you experiencing that?
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it's new for me, something I've never done before, but, you know, football is football. Just the plays I get, I go out and execute them, and, you know, my players speak for itself.
When you were at the Bears, Vic was the defensive coordinator, so you get here, you see Vic for the first time. Was it, sup, Vic, or was it, give me a big bear hug, Vic?
It was a little bit of both. Yeah. You know, Vic's not a real emotional guy, you know. It was cool. You know, we shot the shit for a little while, you know, caught up a little bit, and just talked about the future moving forward.
In terms of how he guides things, what's the difference between Vic in Chicago and as the coordinator versus Vic here running the whole show?
Nothing really. I mean, he's the exact same guy. You know, I just get a little more imprint on him because obviously I wasn't in the defensive meetings and things like that. So I get to see a different side of him, you know, now that he's got the keys to the car.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, okay? I'm a Chicago guy. You played in Chicago.
Yeah.
I should say Chicago. I grew up in Chicago, Illinois,
yeah.
Right? So you got Portillo's with the beef. You've been to Portillo's.
With the cake shakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got the deep dish pizza. Give me a place here in Denver that's better than Chicago in terms of food. Because you're a Denver guy now.
I haven't had the opportunity to get out in the city and try any pizza or Italian beef like that. But I know some great places to eat here in Denver.
Where?
I just can't wait to it's this place, I think it's called Little Bear. Little Bear with the empanadas.
Wait, is it in Evergreen?
Yeah, with those empanadas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, they're damn good.
I smell what you're stepping in, Bobby.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. But, you know, once I get an opportunity to move around the city a little more, I'll have some places for you.
You know what? A couple of things. First of all, love that little Chicago interview, Jack, that you had there.
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, yeah. I didn't grow up on the south side of Chicago near Cicero. I mean, if I head down 55, I'd go see Nolan in St. Louis near the Arch.
All right. But there was something interesting he mentioned there, and it kind of struck me as, you know, as fascinating. He said he's never been in a situation like this before where he's been basically fighting for a job, been a starter his entire career.
Right.
Here he is now. He's not the starter. He's getting only a fraction of the first team reps, got out there with the first team today, was with the second team the previous 2 days. And that's an interesting transition for a guy going into year 10, a career starter who now is fighting to have that same position with a new team.
He knows he is on the back nine.
Yes, he is.
And he said in the interview, this is where I want to finish my career.
Right.
He has a home here in Larkspur. He loves the outdoors. Mm-hmm. If he stays here a couple of years, great. But he knows that this is probably it for him.
Yeah, do you remember in Bull Durham when Crash Davis reports and the manager tells him that you get, you know, he asks, what's in it for me? You get to keep going to the ballpark and keep getting paid to do it. And that's what it is. He wants to keep playing. He wants to keep being involved with football and getting paid to do it, and that he can do it in his backyard. That's going to be his home for life. So much for the better. I'm rooting for the kid.
Coming up after the break, we haven't spent a lot of time. We've touched on a little bit here and there during this past week. Can't wait to have Peter McNabb on the show. Of course, he's one of the voices of the Avalanche. What does he think about Darcy Kuemper, the new goalie? Grubauer's out. Landeskog is back. We'll talk about that next. Searching for signs of life, but there's nobody home.
Well, maybe I'll call or write you. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Impact Real Estate. Impact Real Estate is creative real estate and solutions with the greatest impact. Go to impactcommercial.co.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I want to bring in our friend Peter McNabb. He's one of the voices of the Colorado Avalanche. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you doing? How are you guys doing?
I got a question for you. Okay, so you've got some grandkids. You got some grandbabies. You went to go see them. There was a little bit of an accident yesterday that required stitches. If one of your grandbabies is part of a hockey family, loses a tooth, I'm sorry. Something skipped a generation if we're talking, you know, going to the hospital with stitches.
No, I was, it was funny. I got in there and the one of the doctors there was going to use the glue stuff.
Glue.
And I'm going, you know, you just put the stuff on it, sort of keeps it together. I said, no.
Giving tips.
My boy's getting stitched. No. We're not going to have that popping open in the middle of the night,
right?
You know, so he took it. He was great, you know, but it was hilarious. But as I texted you last night, it was not my fault.
There we go.
So the two of us walked in like champs last night, and mom's looking at me. I go, no, don't even look.
Hey, Peter. Remember,
if it's my fault, I was just going to drop and run.
Not your fault? Listen, my friend, okay? I want you to live by these words. Okay. It's not a lie if you believe it.
With that,
what do you think about Darcy Kuemper as the new goalie?
Well, you know, I it's one of those things. They had it. They, you know, they were locked into. He was, Philip Grubauer was the third guy that they were trying to sign. And, you know, he was going to come in at probably around six, and that meant that that was going to be more than they wanted to spend on their goaltending tandem. Six plus whatever had a Francois, you know, he's 2.5, so that gets up into that eight range, 8.5. And you know, I think Grubauer, to me, everybody I talked to was absolutely stunned that he ended up in Seattle. Not necessarily the money he got, but you know, that he did end up in Seattle. But Kuemper here, you know, it was a situation for the Avalanche. They looked around, they saw the goaltender that they wanted at a time when, you know, they thought probably, okay, we better do this now, because I have just never, ever seen anything as crazy on free agent signing day as yesterday. I, I expected some movement, but you know, a half a billion dollars in one day for a player. Every team did something, and so it was mayhem. And especially when it came to goaltenders, when Fleury went to Chicago, I thought, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then it just snowballed, and guys are flying, going across country here and there. Grubauer goes to Seattle, you know. So he's a good goalie. I would say that 2 years ago, you would have put Grubauer and Kemper probably in the same category as ability. And then Grubauer had a career year last year. And that's always tough when you're paying a guy for a career year. I mean, that's on top of the fact that, you know, Makar, you know, you really were in a tough spot. Makar, you got to pay him. And the bar was set by Dallas. When they signed their young guy for 8.5 or whatever, and then Jones comes in at 9.5. You know, Makar was locked in at 9 at least. And then, you know, I think the one that was interesting for me, Gabe Landeskog, number one, everybody wanted him back, absolutely. But in actual fact, Gabe Landeskog's stock went up as the playoffs went along. And you may ask why. What kind of hockey was played in the last two rounds of the Stanley Cup Finals?
Physical.
Mm-hmm. Physical, hard-nosed, tough.
Well, look at the first two games of the St. Louis series. I mean, he set the tone.
He set the tone. So if you're looking to go from, okay, well, now we're trying to catch Tampa Bay. They're the champs. They lose their entire third line. Every single one of them goes someplace for big money. So they lose that whole group. So now you're thinking, okay, how can we get past them? You're going to have a guy like Landeskog. And so Landeskog, I can't tell you the number of teams that were unbelievably interested. And I think the Avalanche realized that and said, okay, we either want him and keep him, or, you know, we say nope, and you try to find somebody else to fill that void. They're not out there. Those guys aren't out there. And so when he comes in at 7, maybe, you know, you can talk term, you can do whatever you want, but, it's 7 for the time that he is going to be here for the Colorado Avalanche. You're getting your captain. You're getting one of the best left wingers in the game. He's 28 years old. He wants to be here. He is part of the fabric of the community. So it was that was a tremendous signing. So when Grubauer, I'm sure if Grubauer had said, okay, 4 years, $6 million, you know, I'm, again, just a pure, absolute guess, they might have done it. But once the term gets to a certain point, then you have to say, we got MacKinnon coming up in a couple of years. We can't have too much tied up in this and this. So, you know, everything's got to be thought 1 year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, and they happen to catch a situation where one, Makar, he's the best defenseman in hockey. And you know what? There's four positions in hockey. There's goaltender, there's defense, there's wingers, and there's center. You can figure out, and I think centers are most important, goaltenders. But if you're number one at any one of those four positions, you're going to get a fortune. That's just the nature. In any sport, if you're one of the top, if you are the top, and he's going to be there next year. So now they've got him locked in for 6. You want your captain because he represents what you want your team to play like. So they lost Grubauer. That you know, 2 out of 3 probably ain't bad when what they were going to have to pay.
Yeah, to go in the goal, we'll kind of talk about Darcy Kemper for a little bit. Obviously, kind of the thing with him is keeping him healthy, but the Avs have kind of seen firsthand over the years what he can do in some high leverage games. I mean, you think back to in the bubble, the one game the Coyotes won in that series was because Kemper stood on his head and made 49 saves.
And again, we just, you know, you don't want to try to make it sound like you're saying, oh, well, here's the excuse, and there's the excuse, and what. But the Avalanche, the one thing that not everybody, but people can sometimes look past is the idea this is no longer this hockey club that relies on getting 5 and 6 goals. They are really good defensively. I mean, the shots on goal night after night after night are 18, 20, 22, 24. So, you know, if you can bring in a guy, and let's not forget Pavel Francouz. I mean, if he can come back, he had, you know, you look back, and he had kind of taken the number one spot away from Grubauer just 2 years ago, and then he got hurt. You know, so if the two of them, one comes back healthy, one comes in and is facing a far different hockey club than Arizona presents in front of them, because Arizona was a little bit of a defensive disaster, and now he's seeing, you know, 7-8 shots a period instead of 12-14 a period, and he settles in, and, you know, so now maybe you get a 1-2 situation going, or 1A and 1B, and, you know, you get some solid goaltending.
Hey, Peter, we have about 30 seconds left. John Michael Lyles said to me a while back, he said, to make the playoffs, you have to have two outstanding lines. To win consistently in the playoffs, you have to get production out of your third and fourth lines. Currently, as we look at the roster, do they have those third and fourth lines?
Certainly, they don't jump out at you.
Right.
You know, probably, you know, it's funny how you lost, you know, Donskoy. You
yep.
lost Saad. Those
yep.
are those are tough losses.
Yep.
But one of the losses, and Belmar, you know, he's going to move on. But one of the losses that hurt them more than anybody, I think, realized just what he brought was Calvert.
Matt Calvert. No kidding.
You know, he was that fourth line guy that just absolutely epitomized what a hockey player should be.
Yep.
And the concussions got him. And so there's a guy that, you know, you say fourth line, and you say the statistics aren't outstanding, but he is one of the very few guys, in my mind, that every single night he played, the Avalanche were better than when he didn't play, and you couldn't see it anywhere on the stat sheet. So there's no question. They've got some things that they need to pick up on the third and fourth line. I mean, Helm, the one thing about Helm, he can fly. Holy smoke.
Good penalty kill guy, wins faceoffs.
Yep.
He's a good veteran to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And he comes in at, you know, probably fills Belmar's spot
yep.
for less money. So, again, you're looking at, you know, you're looking down the road, because once McKinnon's contract comes up, I mean, it basically will be back to truck up. But what, you know,
right.
at what point do you say no to him?
Hey,
you
know, Peter. Peter, just do me a favor. Moving forward, don't channel your inner Rob Blake and hip check your grandson into the corner of a table anymore. Okay?
No.
All right.
I'll get the look from the granddaughter. She's the one that kills me. She's got me in her hip pocket.
There
Holy
you go.
Smokes. Okay.
Peter, enjoy your time with your grandchildren. We will catch up soon. Safe travels back to Denver.
You betcha, pal. Take care.
See you, man. The great Peter McNabb. What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
Sweetness, the refrigerator, primetime. We've had some great nicknames in the world of football. We'll talk about another nickname for a rookie QB on the other side. That's coming up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
And Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, the NFL has given us some great nicknames over the years. Too Tall Ed Jones, Mean Joe Green. Cam Newton has a nickname for his rookie quarterback teammate, Mac Jones. He calls him Mac and Cheese. Not quite as great of a flow from the tongue.
Cam.
But Mac Daddy. He did give him some very high praise today, especially from a guy like Cam Newton. He said in the phrase made famous by the late Stuart Scott, Mac Jones is cool like the other side of the pillow.
Oh, God.
Of Denver athletes, who currently has the best nickname and who all time has the best nickname in the history of Denver sports?
Oh, you know what? There's something about a skinny guy named Fat Lee, named Fat. Fat Lever's up there. Skywalker, David Thompson.
Yep. You're missing the biggest one.
Who?
PFM.
You see
Peyton effing Manning.
No, I don't know. I that doesn't like.
Oh no, that just no. That's a mic drop nickname.
That's not a nickname. That's sticking a profanity in the middle of somebody's name.
Get over it.
No.
Can I give you the best nickname of all time? Not Denver sports, Danny. Can I just take a small right turn?
Sure, of course.
The greatest nickname of all time is Karl Malone, the mailman. Not because it was the mailman, but because it was used against him. Game 1, 1997 NBA Finals, under 10 seconds to play, the score is tied. Karl Malone steps to the free throw line. All he has to do is hit one free throw for the Jazz to take the lead with 9 seconds to play, and Scottie Pippen walks up to Malone and says, "The mailman doesn't deliver on Sundays."
Yeah.
Because the game was played on a Sunday. Malone missed both free throws, and Michael Jordan hit the game-winning shot.
And that was it. The other thing, to go back to the original start of this with Mac Jones, I mean, if he's cutting through a defense, he's Mac the Knife. If, you know, if he's hadn't done well, but he's bouncing back, it's the return of the Mac. There are so many great directions that you can go in this, and Cam went for Mac and Cheese.
How about
on,
Mac
Cam, do better.
How about MacBook Pro? Or yeah. Mac Air. Mac Air. And then he could have gotten a deal with Apple.
I mean,
Mac Air. That would have been perfect.
Well, but yeah, can't.
Danny's actually agreeing with me.
That
is
a pretty good one.
Yeah. Mac Air. MacBook Air.
Just in case you missed it, U.S. silver medal finisher Ryan Murphy. He was in second place in the men's 200-meter backstroke. Said he believes there is doping in swimming. After Evgeny Rylov of Russia won the gold, Russia is quote-unquote banned from these Olympics for a state-sponsored doping program, but there are athletes from Russia competing. How do you feel about Murphy's comment, and do you think there is any sport, really, that is 100% clean and free of doping of some sort?
No.
Chess? That's not really a sport, though.
I'm going to go with cornhole.
Yeah, cornhole.
Bowling.
Darts.
Bowling.
Cornhole, bowling, and darts. There
yeah,
you
but
go.
Bowling is actually considered a sport where you can win a lot of money.
You can win a lot of money in darts in England.
I understand. Yeah. I'm talking, well, U.S.
I know. Remember, I'm half English.
Oh.
Do you think we'll ever see any of those in the Olympics? Bowling, darts?
I would like to see bowling. Look. If skateboarding's in the Olympics, why isn't bowling in the Olympics? If golf is in the
Fair
Olympics,
question.
Why isn't bowling in the Olympics? If bowling's played, I mean, bowling is played around the world. I'm actually surprised, but the thing is, bowling, I read recently, it did come up for discussion, but the problem is they want younger sports. You know, they appeal to younger people. Thus, skateboarding made the cut. And bowling did not, but I would be watching Olympic bowling if it were happening.
Okay, I want to role play here for a second. Let's do television play-by-play for bowling, okay? You're the play-by-play guy. I'm the color guy, all right? So a guy is standing there. 10 pins are standing there. Ask me, as the color guy, what do I think the guy's going to do?
Did Chris Schenkel ever ask Milton Bo Burton what he thought the guy was going to do?
But let me be the color guy, and you be the play-by-play guy, and ask me what a guy is going to do.
Bo, what do you think he's going to do?
Danny, yeah. Danny's the bowler, okay?
Bo, what do you think he's going to do here?
I think he's going to try and knock down all the pins. Back to you.
But he never asked a question like that. He'd be asked, you know.
That's always the answer.
No, but
he's going to try and knock down all the pins.
They would talk about the condition of the lanes, how they were oiled, whether he was getting the ball in the pocket or not.
He's going to try and knock down all the pins
back to you.
I used to watch
the only reasonable response.
I used to watch a lot of bowling when it was on ABC back in the day. Remember the Pro Bowlers Tour came on every Saturday? I used to watch that. The commentary was nothing like that.
I am so not surprised that's what you did. We have time for one more?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Just in case you missed it, both the Yankees and the Mets were busy ball clubs at the deadline, somewhat of a Big Apple arms race, if you will. The Yankees added Joey Gallo, Anthony Rizzo, and Angels pitcher Andrew Henny. The Mets trade for Cubs Javi Baez and pitcher Trevor Williams. The Yankees last won a World Series back in 2009. The Mets' last title came in 1986. Mets under new ownership. Which New York franchise wins another World Series first?
Well, this year it's not going to be the Mets, as Jacob DeGrom was just shut down for a couple of weeks. So as long as he is out, I don't like the Mets doing anything.
Yeah, they just lost 3-5 to the Braves in an unusual five-game series this weekend. I mean, the NL East this year, it's going to be it's the tallest little person basically in there. Yankees are interesting, and they did enough to their lineup, especially with left-handed power, that they could maul teams at home, and that might be enough to get them in the playoffs and allow them to do something.
That was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, Masterpiece Roofing recently voted Denver's best roofing company. It is going to rain like crazy over the next 4 days. Got a feeling there's going to be some hail. So if your roof is damaged, you need to call Masterpiece Roofing. Call them. Get a free roof inspection, and they're going to show you how they can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Sound pretty good? It should. Why should you pay for it? That's why you pay the insurance company. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Nolan, great job today. Danny, as always, all week, fantastic job. As always. Mace, training camp's underway. You're going tomorrow?
Yes.
I'm taking the day off. Make it the best possible weekend you can. That you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't ever getting old.